Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
It's always a joy and privilege for me to be back with our friends in Covenant. My beloved wife was here this morning, but I think she listened one time of my sermon, Kao Leo, I think. Yeah, Ben mentioned this mentoring experience, and it's something we are committed to. I think lives are changed not just through hearing, but through walking together. So we teach this and we practice this. And so periodically, we have groups of folks coming to our house. And I've been doing this for many years. But I noticed that years later, when I meet all these folks, which I have invited to my home, they can't remember what I taught them, but they remember the beef stew that my wife cooked for them. Oh, the beef stew. Then, do you remember what I taught you? Not sure, but the beef stew was good. So we continue to do this and trust that they will remember something. Those of you who have heard me or read some of my writings, I often mention that perhaps the most significant book that I read in recent times is called The Power of Meaning by Emily Smith, Power of Meaning. It's not new now, but when I first read it, it really impacted me. It's not a Christian book. She says that her background actually is Sunni Islam. But she's a psychologist and philosopher. And her basic thesis is this, that a lot of people chase happiness. You want to be happy, right? So a lot of people chase happiness, which you may or may not get. But she says that to live lives of depth, you actually need to pursue purpose rather than happiness. And in extensive studies, she says that there are at least four things that gives purpose to life. We talk about things like you need good health, we need enough money to function. Of course, that is a given, but purpose. She said there are at least four things that give us purpose. The first, she said, is love or community. That life has meaning when we have people we are connected to who care for us and whom we care for. And I think we all would know this. I think you see every K-drama, movie, whatever, there's always some element of comradeship or romance. It's quite universal that we all want someone to be connected with. In fact, I need to ask here, how many of you smoke 15 cigarettes a day? I see one person. Hey, you worship leader, how can you smoke? Sorry, your voice will be gone already. Don't worship leader, don't smoke 15 cigarettes. I'll give you two max. 15 cigarettes a day. It's okay if you do. I still love you, brother. It's nothing to do with it. But apparently, if you go through life not connected in some kind of a meaningful relationship, it impacts your lifespan as though you smoke 15 cigarettes a day. Is that serious? Again, this is not Christian propaganda. This is a medical study. So if you want to live long and prosper, you have to make sure you don't smoke 15 cigarettes a day, and you must have some people in your life that you love and who love you. And we all know the destructive effects of loneliness. The one is very well documented, especially during COVID. That was quite a tough time. So number one is community or relationship. This is her study. Number two is purpose. When we wake up in the morning, we want to know that in somehow the things we do value add to life, to other people. Life must have purpose, man. And I saw this quite clearly in some of my friends who actually have retired and they are quite well off. And so they say, oh, retire, I can then do the things that I like to do. So one friend, after 3-4 months, said, I love to cycle, I love to swim. He came to see me. He said, hey, Suin, I've been swimming and cycling every day. So boring. Is there anything else to do in life or not? So, hey, we need our breaks, we need our holidays, but life must be of some purpose, lah. Huh? And this has nothing to do with retirement or whatever. Is that no? Life must have some purpose. We all need our off our downtime. Or that's a different matter. But life must have some purpose. And the third thing she says is that what is that? Community purpose. The third one is that you are part of some story where bad things happen to us, but then somehow that is healed or gives meaning down the line. And she's realistic. Life in what we would say, life in the fallen world, sometimes bad things happen. Those of you who know my story, who know that my first wife died of cancer. I have a broken marriage somewhere there too, which I'm not proud of at all. And I went through a period of clinical depression. So in this world, some of us may be going through tough times now. Or you know someone who is. So she's realistic. You know, this life, bad things do happen to good people, bad people, all sorts of people. But it's okay, there's purpose if you're part of a story where the early chapters, painful things happen, but later chapters, you find healing, you find meaning. Again, this is all from her study. And fourthly, and this is interesting to me, she said that purpose also comes from a connection with transcendence. At once, we throw in a word like God. Nah? So that means all that we see, all we touch, surely there must be some spiritual reality beyond just the daily. And again, this comes from extensive empirical study. This is not just some religious propaganda. No, hence, we were told long ago that with the progress of science, we don't need to talk about God anymore when science explains everything. On the contrary, all the traditional religions, there's a big resurgence of Islam, of Buddhism, Hinduism, and there's always this constant search for spirituality. So all sorts of new religions, religious fervors, there must be a multiverse somewhere. You've got to connect to something beyond the daily. So this hunt to connect with something beyond what we just can see and touch, which we will say, I need to connect with God, lah. And again, this is part of the study. You know? So I say these are the four things that she mentions, and I will add a fifth thing. Add my fifth thing. The fifth thing is some kind of answer to the question, not so nice, of death. I always tell people that next year, I'm 70 years old. I don't know what the response is like, but yeah, I'm 69 this year. If you want to buy me presents, my birthday is in March. March, yeah. And, you know, at this stage of life, those of you who are in my stage of life or even later, you know, one of the realities we have to cope with at this stage of life is to say goodbye to people. Just a few weeks ago, a friend of mine was 1 year my junior, who was a co-worker in Malaysia, passed away. Even earlier this year, a friend of mine my age, Alex Tang, who was a pediatrician and very strong in spiritual formation from Johor. One evening, late at night, a common friend, a doctor, said, oh, you know, Alex has gone. I say, what? What? I mean, I just read his column yesterday, you know. Apparently, he had a heart attack. He's a doctor, a specialist, got all the top doctors who will be taking care of him. My friend passed away, sorry. And you can't help but think of your own mortality. We are all in some big denial, right? We don't talk about our own death one. But that's the reality, right? I don't know whether I'll be preaching here next Christmas. Maybe next year you get Robert Solomon, or I don't know. But you never know. Right now, at next year, 70, it means definitely I'm closer to the date of my death than the date of my birth. Sure. Unless some miracle happened, what I mean, but otherwise, you know. So we have to think of this. So I have to think things like, hey, what songs to sing? I don't want soppy things like, you know, in the sweet by and by. Yeah, you know, that's some U2 music. Oh, man, there's no soppy music. I told my wife, no soppy music at my funeral. A bit morbid, right? And if you are young people, say, ha ha ha, you old person. My best friend passed away in second year of uni. So it's the one human reality. So I think I wanted to start on this point. As for human beings, we all look for at least these five things, right or not? Yeah? We all look for love. people that we are connected with. We look for some meaning in our life. We wake up, you know, life must stand for something. My life must be for something. You know, we may go through horrendous things in our life, and we want to find some healing for that, some meaning for that, for ourselves, for our loved ones. And really deep down, whether we realize it or not, there's a hunger to connect with God, I believe. It may manifest in different ways, but there's still this hunger for something else, some spiritual connection. And the one universal for all of us, we need to have some kind of answer to the question of death. So, this is where I begin my story of Nicodemus. And I'll keep to that first. This one is a passage I've heard many times, and I just like to explore this again. So, in chapter 3, verse 1 of John, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." If you are a Christian, you grew up in Sunday school, you read these two verses many times already. It may not really strike you. But let me just explain this scenario a bit. Nicodemus, Pharisee, Jewish religious leader. That means, number one, he was really respected. The Pharisees are the really holy ones. R-H-O, really holy ones. Everybody respect that. They're very spiritual. And not only that, he was a member of the ruling council, the Sanhedrin. So this was a man who was highly respected. He was a man with power. He was part of the ruling council. And I presume he was quite senior by this time in life. So this is this chap of that kind of a background. Now, Jesus, you all not forget because you got no TikTok clip or what. Jesus actually was around early 30s only. Remember? Early 30s only. And he had never gone through any formal training. No, the really holy one probably went through some seminary about lots of degrees. I was like, oh, I know he's a PhD and also MP. Wow. So he's that kind of a category of people, you know. And this Jesus, this kid of 30, 31, like that, who never went through any formal training. So why should a big shot like this come and learn from this kid? You have to understand how crazy this is. No reason. Maybe that's why he paisei, he come at night, no? Want people to question, hey, you are such a famous, powerful person. Why are you going to see this 31-year-old who never went to seminary? If anything, you should order him to come and see you, hello. But so he come at night. So we suspect that but maybe he's scared. Because usually when he goes somewhere, there'll be six outriders, then he'll come and visit you. But here, obviously something is bugging him to make this visit. You know, understand what I mean? He doesn't need to make this visit. People come to him, one. He don't go to people, one. Obviously, something is burdening him inside that he is compelled to visit this Jesus. And he says that Jesus, well, he gave him face. He called you Rabbi. It means I teacher, you teacher, same level. He called him Rabbi, which is actually another mind-blowing thing, you know. He didn't say, hey, kid, you know, he called him Rabbi. He's already giving him respect. We know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. So maybe he's heard from other people who tell him about what powerful teaching he did. But maybe he had friends at the wedding in Cana where he turned water into wine. I would like to meet someone who can turn water into wine. I don't know. EFC allowed to drink wine or not? So can turn water into wine? No, this doesn't happen every day, right? But you must understand this is not just a guy, maybe Nicodemus wanted a good Merlot or something. No, it's not that. Not that he wants to drink wine, because part of the prophecy that when the Messiah returns, Jewish thinking, when the Messiah returns, you get all the things you need on a daily basis and more. So later on, there will be bread left over. That means you need bread when the God come back, the bread, you can't finish. And wine, there'll be great grapes to make wine. And before you can even finish the wine, the new set of grapes also come already. So that is understanding the context. When the Jew thinks about when God finally comes back to make things right again in a very broken world, part of the sign was that he will give you the things that you normally eat. You have more bread than you need. There'll be great wine. So this turning water into wine is not just that Nicodemus wanted a good Merlot, but he actually wanted to see someone who seemed to be fulfilling all these signs of when God comes back to make things right again. And then God is with you, man. And so he was able to turn water into wine. He chased all the people from the temple who make the temple a place of commerce instead of a place of prayer. You don't do these things every day, one. Huh? So obviously, he wanted to know who is this guy. But clearly, something is bugging him. Something, maybe something is bugging you. Life's got to be more than that. Lah. We are all on this search, you know, for purpose, for love, for healing, for the brokenness in our life. We are looking for victory over death. And I think deep down, we are looking for God, lah, because God can take care of all these other things. Lah. So we see here, verse 3, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Say, eh? Why did suddenly Jesus talk about kingdom of God? No, this guy called him Rabbi. He said, "No need, don't call me Rabbi, Paisei, I'm just a regular guy." I mean, it would be some kind of polite exchange, right? When someone comes and call you Rabbi, the senior guy calls you Rabbi, you are 31. Don't call me like that. No. He replies straight away. I think he cuts to the chase. He knows that Nicodemus has really got some deep spiritual emptiness. So he cuts to the chase. He says, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." So point number two, we see that when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he talks about something that we all want, because kingdom of God is when God is king. Lah. I mean, in Singapore, we have republic, so no king. What? So we're talking about a place where there's actually a king in control. And when God is in control, as he was in Genesis 1 and 2, all these things we long for. Do you long for love? We long for purpose. Our life must have purpose. Leh. And if you're going through brokenness, man, I need healing. I need my life to have some purpose, even in all the pain and failures I've gone through, man. In our society, which doesn't tolerate failure, we hide our failure and our pain. But actually, we want the healing. We want it to make sense. And we want some answer to the question of death, man. You know? And finally, I think we need God, lah, because God is the one that will give us all these things. So it says, that's why kingdom of God. It says, all these things that you want, I'm not sure what is actually bugging Nicodemus, which of these things. Because as a Jewish leader, they assume that all Jewish leaders go to heaven, one. That is the assumption. But clearly, it's not an assumption that has made him happy. Lah. Something's still missing. So middle of the night, he come and see Jesus. So, okay, lah, I'm supposed to belong to that gang that will go, but not quite surely. So he goes middle of the night to talk to Jesus. And Jesus cut straight to the chase. Let's pass all the pleasantries. What you're really looking for is a relationship with God. You're looking for answer to death, all these things. And you're not sure whether you are in this group or not. But I'm telling you now, it is in the kingdom of God, and I'm inviting you to come in. No? Open the door. Jesus offers us everything we need in his offer of the kingdom. Everything you need. Maybe end of the service, I'll ask you, have you ever made this response to God before or not? He invite you, invite you to come into the kingdom where you have all that you need, all that I need, all these five things we talked about. It's all waiting for you. God wants to give it to you. Jesus wants to give it to you. But it's inside this reality called the kingdom of God. But the door is open. You want to enter or not? So Jesus offers everything we need in his offer of the kingdom. I need to say this because for the longest time, I think the way we talk about Christianity is when you die, you go heaven. That's all. Isn't that true? Older people especially, and that means me, older people. I cannot say old people, it's very rude. Older people. In those days of evangelism, older people, remember there'll be a very powerful, emotionally charged speaker. If you die tonight, you know where you go or not. You remember or not those days? Huh? You go outside, then car bang you, psh, you know where you go or not. And to make sure you go to the right place where there'll be some white figures, I don't know why white figures in the white gate, open one. And to avoid there'll be some fire, I don't know why. people red in color carrying farm instruments like pitchfork. I don't know why. So all this is on a flannel board, by the way. You don't know, young people don't know what's a flannel board. Google it. So Christianity is positioned to you as to escape this and go there. And how to do this? Sign the contract. What contract is this? Sinner's prayer lah. Your sinner's prayer, Jose Liao. No, if you die tonight. But most people don't die that night one. But if you die tonight. So Christianity has been reduced to just going to heaven when you die. Which is true, but God wants to give you so much more leh. This kingdom of God, the rest of the Gospel of John, if I have time, can tell you, God promises you love. God promises you a community. God promises you a purpose. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. God promises you healing for your brokenness. And God, Jesus is God himself. Like you connect with God. Jesus, you connect with God. So all those things that we all hunger for, it's all there. You know, look, I'm from Penang. Do you want or don't want? Do you want or not? Do you want or not? So inside the kingdom, lah, you enter, then you can get all waiting for you. Leh. So Jesus offers us everything we need in his offer of the kingdom. But how? How to join the kingdom? Then if this is a drama, tune in next week. But no, I'll tell you now. How to join this kingdom? Really, join kingdom, I get all these things. How to join? Okay, next point number three, to be a member of this kingdom, you need to be born again. So let's go on. I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus hear this, like us hear this. What do you mean? How can an old man go back to my mother's womb and be born again? What are you talking about? No, I can't turn back the clock and then go back then. Old man, come again. In fact, my mother passed away already. How can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Sounds ridiculous. So Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born again of water and the Spirit. Of course, human beings can only produce human life. By the way, how many of you fathers have actually seen your child being born? Put up hand. You never forget, right? You never forget. Wow, so much pain, blood. Ew. Then your wife is in spasm. Rub harder, rub harder. Yes, darling. You have a higher regard for mothers. High regard for mothers. So we see a child being born. A child, hasn't existed before, then emerged, then the child exists. So that's a human birth. So I say human birth can only give birth to human birth, but spiritual birth is born by water and the Spirit. And it says, the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. So, human birth can see. Some of us, fathers have been traumatized. Have seen. But spiritual birth, like wind, cannot see one. But nevertheless, when you're born again, born from above, you become a totally new creation. So don't reduce Christianity to just buy a ticket to heaven. It's much more than that. Did you know that? That when you became a Christian, you were born again, totally new reality. Then we grow in Christ-likeness, just as a child would grow. We grow in Christ-likeness. But Christianity, I must tell you, like Nicodemus was hanging around religious people all his life and it wasn't clear. So my first target audience today is those of us who have come to church for the longest time. Do you realize that when you became a Christian, you were born into a new creation? Not just by a ticket to heaven only. And that change, I think, has to be seen. We are saved by grace. But once you have accepted Christ, then you have been transformed, you have been born again, you should be a different kind of person. I know we grow holier, more like Jesus, but there must be this transformation. To be a member of this kingdom, how to enter this kingdom, to get all these things that we need to be born again, and we need this new birth given to us by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus admits that it's very hard to see, like you cannot see one, it's a spiritual transaction, but it is equally real, that you cannot see the wind, but you can feel the effects of the wind. You cannot see the spiritual birth as compared to a physical birth, but the effects is that you are now a new person, and we are now assured of my membership in the kingdom of God. Remember all these things that God wants to give you? We now can enter all there already. In fact, later I'll ask those of you who want to recommit yourself to Christ or even accept Christ for the first time, I will say you want to put a hand or something like that, I will ask you, don't let the moment pass, because Christmas is, I think the stakes at Christmas are very high. It's not just sing songs, sing carol, get present. It's God reminding us again of so much He wants to give us, but we reduce Christianity, we reduce Christmas to just sing carols or that, which is fine, but it's much more than that. A reminder of what Christ came to offer us. The stakes are very high, talking about love and purpose and healing for pain. All these are big things. It's not small thing. And God wants to give you all this in the kingdom of God, but you need to enter, and you enter through birth, born again. So, but then the fourth point, I guess then this brings us to the most important verse, John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Next slide. Verse number 4. God gives us this offer because He loves us. Today's talk actually is about love. Why God do all this? Why God do all this? Why go all this trouble? Because we know later on that the Son of Man came down from heaven as Moses lifted up on a snake on the pole. This is a big thing, but says that one day Jesus will have been on the cross to make all this a possibility. He will be rise up. So because sometimes we may ask, how do we know that this is true? How do we know that all this Jesus say is true? Well, as I said, I'm from Penang. I'm proud of it. When people hear me talk, they say, you haven't lost your Penang accent. I say, I wasn't trying to lose it. What's Penang? I'm sorry, I'm speaking in tongues. I shouldn't speak in tongues. I mean, so I'm from Penang. So when my Singaporean friends go to Penang, they, hey, sweet, sweet. Which is the best char kway teow in Penang? I'm from Penang, ma. I know, ma. You know, of course, Penang's char kway teow is superior to Singapore. The weird Malacca product that puts tin chow on char kway teow, I don't get that. I don't know why in Malacca they put tin chow on char kway teow. But Penang, of course, the best. And because I'm a Penangite, I'm from Penang, I know where. After you give me some money, I tell you where. Because I'm from Penang, you see. So when Jesus comes and tells you all this story about kingdom of God, born again, how do we know this is true? He says, I have come from above. I know what I'm talking about. I've come from heaven, I've come from above. You can trust me. I'm not just a human being speculating about what eternal life is about. I'm from above. No, I'm from heaven. I from this new spiritual reality I'm offering you. I'm from there, man. You can trust me. No one has ever gone to heaven, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. You can trust me for char kway teow in Penang. You can trust Jesus. So He is from heaven. And He also tells you that at the end of the story, He has to be lifted up. He dies on the cross because He loves us. He dies on the cross to make this invitation to go into the kingdom possible. That one we will explain more in Good Friday and Easter and all that. So God gives us this offer for all that we really need because He loves us. For God so loved the world. This is the way that God loves us. So sometimes you wonder what God is like. Is He... He cares for us, He's evil, what? So when we finally encounter God, we finally encounter a God who loves us. It means, imagine He loves us and see us suffering, without love, without purpose. As a parent, Simtia, you would have a deep sense of wanting the people that you love to have the best. And all these five things we talk about, God wants us to have that. And He has prepared the way. Jesus has died on the cross and it's all in the kingdom of God, and He invites you to go in and get all this. But as in all gifts, the last point, point number 5, we have to choose to accept. The point here is to believe. How everyone who believes in Him. Like any gift, and you have known this, you cannot force people to accept a gift. I give you this gift, you take, you don't take, I beat you up. Where got like that one? No? People give you a gift, then you have a choice, comes here, thank you, or say, it's okay. No, it's still up to you. And so God gives you this gift. Jesus has died on the cross, He's opening the door to enter the kingdom of God. All the things you and I desperately need, whether we realize it or not, is waiting for you. But look, I might, I mean, do you want it? I mean, are you going to respond to His invitation or not? That is the question, you see. So we need to accept His gift. To believe in Him is to be born again, is to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Maybe we have all these things that we need. And to be frank, of course, is when Christ returns again, then everything will be settled. But already we are on this journey already. The clock is ticking. One day Christ come back, all these things will be for us perfectly. But in the meantime, we are already on this journey, Leo. So let me close today. I know this may not be our usual culture, but my challenge and invitation is for two groups of people. Some of us, like Nicodemus, actually have been hanging around churches, doing Christian things for a long time, but we may never come to that point where we say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Is it possible or not? It's possible for me, leh. I was born in a Christian family, so very early, my mother especially forced me to go to church. See, many of my non-Christian friends, they go to church, what, their mother beat them, you know. So mother beat me if I try to skip church. So second, third generation Christians, I get you. Oh, actually, I want to be at home, but my mother said, I must go to church. So that's what I was. I ended up in church activities or that. It's only in sect 3 that I realized, hey, actually, this Christianity, it's not just go to church or that, no. Actually, I need to accept Christ as my personal savior, you know. Have you ever done that? Personal decision, Jesus, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. For me, it was sect 3. You know, I went to church since I was a child, but didn't realize it. So I'm asking anyone here, you've been in church for the longest time, but you never had this kind of transaction with God before, you know. I want to accept Christ. That's the first group. You think about it. If you, this is your decision today, you put up hand. Shy, never mind. Put a bit. I can see. Then the second group is you are here, you are guests, you've never been exposed to Christianity before, and today you say, yeah, no, I think I have a lot of questions, but I want to be in this journey of knowing more about Christ. So all of us just be in a meditative state of mind. We just be quiet and maybe close our eyes a bit and pray whether these two invitations apply to you. Are you someone who has been in church like forever, but you've never ever said, Lord, I want to personally accept your invitation. I want to enter and join the kingdom of God and be born again. I've never done this transaction with you before, but just today I want to do that. Or here, you are someone who have never made any decision to be a Christian before and said today. So just a bit of quiet because, like I said, Christmas, I think the stakes are very high. It's not just ha-ha, hee-hee, but what is life about, you know? What is life about? Where do I find all these things I really need and want? You are a church person or non-church person. So let's just pray. And I will invite you in a short while, if either of these categories apply to you. Today, you make a decision. I raise my hand because I've never done this before, make a transition with God and say, I want to follow you. Or you're not a Christian background, but you want to begin this journey. And some of us will help you later. So just no rush. And this is not meant to embarrass you or what. But I think that sometimes in life, we have to make some key decision. And today is one of those times. So if you want to commit your life to Christ, maybe for the first time, or you've been in church a long time and you just want to seal this deal like I did in sect 3, you can raise your hand. So let's a few more seconds, and then I'll ask you to raise your hand if either of these things apply to you. Jesus, I pray for my friends, that those who have heard you speak to them. Some of us may be going through a rough time in life. Some of us are wondering what life is all about. Some of us have been in church forever, but never have this personal transaction with you. Lord, help us to respond appropriately to your love. Because you love us, and you want to bless us, but we need to respond to you. So give us the strength, give us the commitment to respond to you. So now is the moment. Can you raise your hand if you want to say, Lord, I want to connect with you, either for the first time or... Can you please briefly put up your hand? Say, I want to be knowing more about the Lord, or I want to follow Jesus. Anyone want to put up their hands? Anyone at all? No emotional push here and there. I see the hand. Praise God. Anyone else want to raise your hand? This is not meant to embarrass you. It's meant for you to be blessed by God. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. And this is not the end. This is the beginning. Afterwards, even for those who find it hard to raise your hand, you come forward because there'll be someone here who cares for you, who wants to pray with you. So even when it's hard to raise your hand, you can come forward and someone will be here to talk with you and to pray with you. Don't let this moment pass. I mean, life can be hard. Life rushes by. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, how much you love us. Thank you, Jesus, that you came for us. And you're inviting us to our best life. But you know how stubborn, how indecisive we are. You help us, Lord, to do what is best for us, to respond to your love, to be and to all that we are supposed to be. Thank you for your patience. Continue to speak to us. I ask this in Jesus' name.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.